Pensacola's first choice for morning news, traffic, sports, and talk. The Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay. News Radio 92.3 AM 1620. Good morning, Pensacola.
Brings us to item 17, gun buyback initiative and program. The recommendation is that the City Council approve the specifics of the gun buyback initiative program for the City of Pensacola.
Just so you know, Council, we've gotten about 190 gun locks that we will provide to the community, as well as we have a firearms instructor who will be present there to also talk about gun safety, how to properly store firearms and things of that nature. So
City Council President Jared Moore and then City Councilman Delarian Wiggins. It was his measure, Delarian Wiggins. He's the one that proposed this idea. And then it was voted on the first time. It was a unanimous vote the first time. And then they had the vote last night. And things got interesting for a minute. And here, I'll tell you why. Because I was expecting, since there had been really no opposition to this on the council, to have a Pensacola taxpayer-funded gun buy program, which is, you know, what they were talking about, doing $10,000 to pay for people to sell their guns to through the police department. The police department did not create this program, but the police department is the one that's going to be administering this at Bill Gregory Park on March the 20th, starting at 9 a.m. And so he had proposed it, and everybody had been pretty much on board, except for, I mean, there was a couple of people raised questions about the data didn't show that it works, which is true. There's no good data showing that any of this has any effect on violence, but they still went ahead and supported it unanimously the first time it came up. And it had to come back here basically for the details. The details, which of course we've been reporting on for, I mean, like a week and a half now. The details are $150 for a semi-automatic pistol, $125 for a revolver. They have to work. $200 for a semi-automatic rifle. No price given for shotguns or bolt actions, but we'll see what happens. And it's going to, you know, no questions asked. They will not purchase non-functioning weapons. They have to be unloaded. You do have to wear a mask. Refreshments will be provided. That's the part that cracks me up the most. They're going to serve snacks. Come sell your gun to the city. We'll give you snacks. And they're also going to have gun locks that we can give it away. And they're going to have an instructor there to teach people about gun safety if they want. So that's what the proposal was. And I expected this to go pretty smoothly, brief. I actually expected, after wading through the, 2.5 hours, I think, worth of talk about the planning ordinance and the Rothfetter contract for the Maritime Park, and I was like, oh, yeah, all of this. And finally, they got to the one that I was interested in, this one, and also the complete streets I was interested in, too. But this was the one I was most waiting for as I was doing other stuff. And then they finally got to it. I'm like, oh, okay, here we go. Are they going to say anything? Jared Moore, City Council President.
I will say, in my time on council, I've learned there's about three tiers of disapproval that I've experienced. Sometimes after a vote, I'll have constituents that disapprove of the vote I cast, and I might get a text or an email. Those are usually pretty soft. If things get a little more serious, I might get a call. The pinnacle of disapproval is what I call the chase you down in the middle of the shopping aisle at Publix level of disapproval. And, that's not limited to grocery store aisles. It also extends to youth basketball games and restaurants.
And so this is his way of saying that, you know, when I do something my constituents don't like, they react in various ways. An email, a call, or, hey, jerk face. That's kind of what he's saying was going on with this one. And he says, yeah, the people of my district, they do not like this idea.
And I will say for this particular item on our first vote, that is we elevated. For me, I had many, many constituents that reached out to voice their disapproval that under no circumstances did they want their government buying guns from her citizenry under any circumstance. So certainly appreciate the educational components there. At the end of the day, this is a gun buy initiative, and for that reason I can't vote to support it this evening. My constituents, many of them, made it very clear to me they did not approve of that. And so that I will be voting against this evening.
So Jared Moore said no, even though he kind of personally supports it and he voted for it the original time, his constituents, he represents them, which is good legislating. You should represent your constituents. Casey Jones, new on the city council.
So I haven't been chased down anywhere, but I do have a good bit of people that walk by my house and like to talk to me about these things whenever I'm out in the front yard working on something. So I have only heard disapproval of this from my constituents. That's all I've heard from emails, calls, and, again, people walking by. So I also can't support it.
Yeah, so he says he's not going to support it. So that was two opposed. Sherry Myers had previously and also last night said that there's no evidence this works.
From the research I've conducted, it does not appear that gun buybacks... there's been no proof that they reduce gun violence.
So it sounded like she was opposed, but then she said, no, it's fine. By the way, she's glad that they're only taking functional guns because otherwise she would have regretted. I'll let her tell it. You ready? Does Sherry Myers, you think Sherry Myers owns a gun? Just take a wild guess.
I'm going to go with no.
Here's what she says.
From the research I've conducted, it does not appear that gun buybacks...
Oh, sorry, that's the one that I did before.
I am glad to see that the guns that are being bought back, however, are operable. I mean, I had a gun I had to throw away because I thought, well, heck, I could have sold it to the city. My dog chewed the handle off of it. That was years ago, and then it got all rusted inside, and it definitely wasn't usable.
Well, now I just have questions. Was the gun loaded when the dog was chewing on it? Was the dog carrying the gun around? What kind of gun was it? Was the dog ever in danger? I mean, I just don't know. Of course, Jared Moore had a pretty good quip.
Thank you, Mr. Myers. I'll say that's a tough image there. You got a gun-wielding watchdog.
But still, the dog chewed the handle off? And then you threw it away? I'm just all questions. But nevertheless, that was not the most interesting comment of the night. And at this point, I whip counted, and I had maybe three no's. I couldn't think of a fourth no would happen, but I was waiting to see. So Ann Hill, city councilwoman for District 6 downtown, says...
Well, being in District 6, I have not gotten any disapproval whatsoever, and I thoroughly welcome anything that can stop violence, educate people on... I don't even know what a gun lock is, but if I had a gun, I'd want one. And so I'm grateful that you're doing that aspect of it.
Wait, what did she say?
Stop violence, educate people on, I don't even know what a gun lock is, but if I had a gun, I'd want one.
Look, I love Ann Hill. She's great. She's fabulous. We're friends. I probably don't agree with her all the time, but I actually agree with her a lot on the stuff that we think about. She's, it's a nonpartisan office, right, being city council member. First of all, how do you not know what a gun lock is? Second, if you don't know what it is, ask. How do you vote on a measure that is involving the purchase of a thing that, I have to say, you clearly don't understand? Just so painful. So in the end, they voted 5-2 and they approved it, and they're going to have the gun buy program coming up on March 20th. I just heard that and I thought, I mean, wonderful that she's honest, but ask what a gun lock is. There's several different kinds, and a gun lock is basically a physical device that makes it impossible to pull the trigger or to fire the gun. There's various different kinds of them, but it's not hard to explain. Just... Sometimes we talk about how legislators make rules about guns and they don't understand guns. Case in point. 618 News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Davis Allen has traffic for you.
Yeah, and starting at the front gate of NAS Pensacola, we are backed up to Central Avenue. So looking like it could take about 15 to 20 minutes to get you onto the main gate. Back gate appears to be flowing smoothly at the moment. Taking a look at what's going on around Pensacola, Scenic Highway, Davis Highway, Bayou Boulevard, or Mobile Highway, front these areas, Michigan Avenue, all checking in clear. Seeing no delays along Avalon Boulevard or Garcon Point Bridge also. And Highway 90 through Milton and Pace, also flowing smoothly over there. I'm David Salen with your traffic on the fives.
Think about it. There must be higher love.
Having more military families in Northwest Florida is central to our effort to continue to be the most military-friendly community in the entire nation. We ended sequestration during my time in the Congress, which allowed our nation to be able to grow the number of military families represented by someone in uniform by about 7%.
Yeah, in general, but specifically here locally?
But we did almost twice that well in Northwest Florida. Our military uniformed mission has grown by 13%, meaning even more military families here that we get to call our neighbors, our fellow parishioners at church, the parents that are also at the PTA meetings and helping our kids through school.
Yeah, Matt Gaetz does this military update information day, mostly about Whiting Field, NAS Whiting Field, and about the military mission there and about the Leonardo helicopter contract that's coming in where the TH-73s are going to be replacing the current TH-57s that they've had in service since the Tet Offensive. Yeah. They're analog systems, and so all of our helicopter pilots train on a system that is completely obsolete. Except for, I mean, it's bad. And for training, you know, all of our rotor pilots and doing all of the primary school and then training most of the rotor pilot. Anyway, it's amazing what Whiting does every year. Mostly just an informational day. It wasn't really a lot of news per se. It was just more of an explainer about here's what Whiting Field does on a regular basis, which is good if you don't understand it. But I remember last year when it did this, there was all kinds of very interesting news in it. And yesterday's was much more of a kind of a background brief on what Whiting does, which is important. Don't get me wrong. It's important. I don't think most people understand how significant Whiting Field is. You know, with all of the flights that take off and land there, more than Atlanta, it's a huge operational airspace. Anyway, 437-1620, 437-1620. Mark Jacobs in the newsroom with our headlines. Mark?
A former coach for the U.S. Olympic women's gymnastics team takes his own life just hours after being charged with human trafficking and sexual assault. Michigan State Police say John Gettert was found dead at a rest area yesterday afternoon. He'd worked closely with convicted sex offender and former Team USA doctor Larry Nassar. President Biden's nominee for Surgeon General says his top priority is ending the pandemic.
In the work I've done over the past year, I've seen the importance of providing clear, science-based guidance to Americans on how to protect themselves and others. And I know how urgent it is that we communicate clearly about the safety and effectiveness of vaccines.
Dr. Vivek Murthy also served in the role in former President Obama's administration.
How many now do we have that are just Obama's third administration appointees? Anyway, go ahead, Mark.
Lots of administrations recycle old people.
I know, but we got the old vice presidents, the president. The old, yeah. It just seems like it's everything but Obama, basically.
Don't call him Mr. Potato Head anymore. He's just Potato Head.
Order on this, but go ahead.
Making the toy gender neutral after 70 years, a spokesperson for the company saying kids project their own experiences onto the iconic potato, including making their own kind of family.
So, yes and no.
There's still Mr. Potato Head, Mrs. Potato Head, but the brand in general.
The brand, the umbrella, is just Potato Head, but the individual products are still Mr. and Mrs.
You can make them whatever you want them to be.
This, to me, there's a lot to be said about this story. Here's the shortest version. I thought that Mr. Potato Head was the most trans toy ever for all of history, because you put female bits on male bits and all, you can mix and match.
All kinds
and you
of
can,
things.
Yeah, it's always been the most pro-trans toy ever for kids, and now they're making a deal out of it. You can't call it the Mr. and Mrs. It's amazing. It is amazing. I don't know what you call it. Mixed Potato Head? Isn't that the...
Potato salad. I don't know.
Did you know, by the way, this is just side note, did you know the original toy was for regular potatoes? It was just the accoutrements?
Yes, and you would use a real potato and stick them on a potato.
I saw one of the old ads for that. Ew. Yeah.
After a while,
That potato only lasts for so long. And they were worried in the original rollout that they would offend food people who were poor. They didn't have access to a lot of food,
right,
that they'd
you're
be just wasting potatoes
wasting
on
potatoes.
Toys. Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right, Mark, thanks for the update. Davis Allen, time for Traffic on the Fives.
Yeah, in the front gate of NAS Pensacola, we are still seeing those delays as you're trying to get onto the base. It's still back to around the wings and things. sewing facility. So they expect about 15 minutes over there. Avalon Boulevard and Garcon Point Bridge, Gulf Breeze Parkway, Navarre Parkway, all still checking in clear, and I'm not seeing any delays along I-10 or I-110. And this report is brought to you by Executive Landscaping. Over 40 years of service, they're big enough to get the job done, yet small enough to care. Call 250-3756 for a no-hassle estimate. I'm Davis Allen with your traffic on the fives.
If you drive a car, you got to maintain a car, right? And you know, the best way to avoid expensive repairs on a car is to do the routine, regular maintenance and checkup, right? But, you know, a lot of us don't do that the way we should, and so you wind up having issues. Well, whatever it is for your car, whether it is just routine maintenance, you know, oil change, timing belt, all that kind of stuff, or tune-up, or all the way to big repairs or somewhere in between because you're not really sure what's going on with your car, Bobby Likas Auto Service right here on Davis Highway. Great place to take especially your diesel trucks or your high-end imports because they specialize in that stuff. Don't take them over to Mobile. Get it done here. But anything, really, any car that you take in, they will look at it. They'll tell you what it needs or that it doesn't need it yet. You know, that's kind of the idea. So when your car breaks down or just needs that routine maintenance, go to Bobby Likas Auto Service on Davis Highway. And if you want to look them up online, it's at carclinicservice.com. Hey, one note on coronavirus vaccines. The FDA has revised their requirements and guidance for the transportation of the Pfizer vaccine that it can be stored at ordinary freezing temperatures for at least some period of time. It does not have to be stored at the ultra cold freezing temperatures, which relaxes some of the constraints on the supply chain for it. I just wonder how they tested that to make sure it's efficacious, you know? I'd kind of, oh, here, you try the thawed one. Maybe not.
You know more because you listen on the weekends. News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Monday morning feels so bad. Everybody seems to like me. Coming Tuesday, I feel better.
Good morning, 6:38 on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Kind of a special treat this morning. Tom Danheiser is a judge. He's the first Judicial Circuit Court judge here in, this is the first Judicial Circuit that we are here in Pensacola, you know, Santa Rosa, Escambia, Okaloosa, Walden is the area. And he joins us now. Judge Danheiser, welcome to the Pensacola Morning News.
Good morning, Andrew. Thanks for having me on. I appreciate you highlighting judicial issues because the people need to know what is going on in the court system, and often we kind of live in a bubble and the citizens lose touch of what's happening in the court system.
Most definitely. And this is why I wanted to have you on, because even though I track the news every single day and try to pay attention to everything that's happening, even I wasn't quite sure where we are at. Under COVID, we've had a lot of hiccups to the judicial process. Courts have been closed, open, closed, doing various different kinds of jury trials or not. Where do we actually stand right now in the First Judicial Circuit? What kind of trials are happening? What kind of trials are not happening?
Well, as of this week, criminal trial, jury trials are activated again. They have been off and on, I would say, over the course of the COVID crisis. About 50% of the time, the right to a criminal jury trial has been non-existent. The right to a civil jury trial, which is also guaranteed in the Constitution, is still suspended, and we're now approaching the one-year mark where civil jury trials have been suspended.
Wait, I feel dumb that I didn't know this. We haven't had any civil jury trials under the Seventh Amendment for a year?
That's correct. We have not.
Holy smokes.
And it has been suspended. Initially at the order of the Chief Justice of the Supreme Court, and then local courts were given a little more flexibility. So our chief judge, who's a good chief judge, is trying to work that and get our civil jury trials back into action, but it needs to happen sooner rather than later because they're very important cases. You know, serious personal injury cases, serious medical malpractice cases. You have plaintiffs and defendants who need closure in these matters, and it drives up expense and justice delayed, of course, is justice denied, as the saying goes.
So how bad is the backlog right now? I'm absolutely stunned about the civil trials, and I understand there's probably backlog in criminal too, but how bad is the backlog in both of these areas? Like, how long will it take us, even if we opened everything up to normal functionality, how long would it take us to get back to as current as was common before COVID?
It's tough to guess. I would say with civil jury trials, it would be well over a year before we get close to normal. Criminal jury trials, I would say half a year.
Wow.
But in the criminal system, of course, the defendant's got a right to a speedy trial and the victim's got a right to a speedy trial. So
right.
It's both parties. And a lot of citizens may think, well, how's it going to affect me? I don't have a case in the courts. Well, you could, because the judiciary, a lot of people kind of take it for granted, but a judge can take your liberty, can take your property, can take your children. And really, that's more effect on your life than the governor or the president of the United States. So it's important for everyone to understand what's happening in the judicial system and basically to keep the system accountable to the citizens.
Yeah, and I mean, you're exactly right. You mentioned a moment ago in the civil side. Look, if you are owed money appropriately because somebody has defrauded you or harmed you financially, being owed a year from now is not the same as being owed now. And if you are due to be exonerated from it, well, having that hang over your head for an extra year is not appropriate either. And then on the criminal side, obviously, you have people who have these indictments against them, or they may even be incarcerated. I assume that there are extra people incarcerated right now for various reasons, can't make bond, or because they're on a no bond or something like that. I assume that people are being incarcerated for longer awaiting trial. Am I accurate?
Yes. I mean, especially the more serious cases. We had resolved most of the basically, quote, easy cases that can be resolved through plea agreements. But the more serious cases have backed up significantly, of course, many murder cases, many other serious cases. And you have defendants in jail for 3 years, and you have victims essentially in jail for 3 years. Victims need resolution, finality, and thankfully we've got that machinery back in action, and hopefully we can bring justice to both parties in a proper time frame.
What sort of remedies do we have at this point? Because what I'm thinking is, well, I know the Supreme Court is doing their oral arguments via Zoom or some kind of technological platform. I've seen some of the various hearings that have been done at the state level via technology, but. You know, a court trial is supposed to be face-to-face for all the right reasons, in that you confront your accuser, you can see witnesses in the eye, you can read visual cues. There's all kinds of things that you can do in evaluating testimony in person that cannot be done remotely. And so, but of course, the whole problem is putting a bunch of people together in a courtroom that are, you know...
So what
can we do?
Well, we can insist on our constitutional rights being reinstituted. And there is no health reason why we can't do it in our court system. Our courtrooms are huge. They have 30-foot ceilings. They're basically like auditoriums.
Right.
We have the best screening methods in the courthouse of any hospital or nursing home. You get your temperature checked, you answer questionnaires. So if you want to go in the most COVID-safe place in the community, though, we would run to a courthouse. So there is no, at this point, health reason we cannot have necessary court proceedings in person.
Okay, then the natural next question is, if that's all true, and I certainly believe you that it is, why don't we? I mean, what's the hiccup?
Well, that's my view. Well, of course, COVID is a serious matter, and different people have different views of it. But my view is that during the course of the COVID crisis, there has not been one day you couldn't go get a lotto ticket. However, there's been 1 year you couldn't get a civil jury trial. And I kind of view constitutional right to a civil jury trial more important than the right to get a lotto ticket.
Right.
So if you can face-to-face get a lotto ticket, you ought to be able to face-to-face get your civil jury trial, much less your criminal jury trial.
Has anybody that you know of, has there been any suit filed on the basis of this delay, denial, not on the facts of any particular case, but specifically on the unconstitutional COVID lockdown?
You know, unfortunately, I don't believe there has been, which to me is kind of scary because people have just become accustomed to it.
Yeah.
Never in the history of the United States has the right to jury trial, except in rebellious states, been suspended. Even in the North, during the Civil War, the Supreme Court held the right to a jury trial could not be denied. So during the Civil War, during World War II, during the Spanish flu, this is unprecedented. And Justice Alito gave a great speech on it in November to the Federalist Society. I would recommend that to anybody. Get on YouTube, where he's talked about that. But unfortunately, no, because, you know, 95% of the people aren't directly affected. And if you're not directly affected, no, people have their lives to live. It's up to the public officials to really keep our rights in place.
Well, so I hate to leave people with just frustration and shock if they're where I am. What's the remedy at this point? I mean, obviously, I'm not a defendant. I wouldn't have standing to bring a lawsuit on my own behalf. What can we do other than somebody who is a defendant or is a litigant? Or is there a political avenue here? I mean, I don't even know who to call. You know what I mean?
Well, things are improving, so hopefully it won't be necessary. Like I said, criminal jury trials have been reinstated, and I don't see them being suspended again with the status of COVID, with the low numbers and the vaccines finally getting out. Civil jury trials are supposed to start back up in 2 to 3 months, so hopefully that will resolve it. But as with any right, the First Amendment is one of the main protectors, and if people are concerned, they just need to talk about it.
All right. Well, that's why I wanted to have you on, so we could kind of have that conversation and at least raise awareness. And to whatever degree people want to do anything about it, they can, you know, if we can bring concerns about 5G to the city council meeting, there's no reason we can't bring concerns about the inability to get a civil jury trial guaranteed by the Constitution to the city council meeting.
I would agree.
Well, Judge Tom Danheiser, he is the First Judicial Circuit Court judge here in the area. Judge, thank you so much for the work that you do. Thanks for spending some time with us this morning to raise awareness about a really important issue that I feel I was far too ignorant about until this morning. So thank you for that. I appreciate your work.
All right, Andrew, thanks for having me on, and thanks for bringing that issue to the public.
Absolutely. You're welcome anytime. 6:48 here on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Davis Allen has traffic for you.
And starting at the front gate of Ineos Pensacola, we are just not seeing any delays over there, so good news. But, however, that is not the case when it comes to northbound Garcon Point Bridge. It appears to be moving at a slower pace as cars are trying to get on through the Garcon Point Bridge Toll Plaza. It's only reduced to one lane, still free to use, but we are just seeing some traffic build up from that. It's not quite backed up into Gulf Breeze, and I'm not seeing any delays along Gulf Breeze Parkway or Navarre Parkway, and Avalon Boulevard is checking in clear along with I-10 and I-110. I'm Davis Allen with your traffic on the fives.
Hey, this is Dr. Ben McMillan. I do a show on the Pensacola Expert Panel because you have questions. We all do. What sort of doctor should I be seeing for this problem? What kind of testing do I need done? We talk about your health problems. Join me this morning on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
For a gallon of gas, $2.69. Florida average $2.61. Bridgeport, California, $4.99. Houston, Texas, $1.48. In Navarre this morning, $2.55 at either Walmart, $2.65, up 87. Tiger Point and Gulf Breeze, $2.59 everywhere except at the foot of the Garcon Point Bridge, $2.56. In Milton, $2.55 at the Raceway before Avalon, $2.59 down Avalon, $2.55 at the Walmart and P Ridge, and $2.58 at both stations. In Pace, coming over into Pensacola, $2.58 everywhere. North Davis, 9 Mile, $2.54 at the Murphy in front of the Walmart on US 29. And coming in from the southwest side, looks like, where'd it go there? There we go. $2.56 the Navy Exchange, same price at the Murphy in front of the Walmart on Navy, or $2.54 at the BP at Pace and Navy. $2.60, $2.51 here on News News Radio 92-261. That'd be a funny time. I was looking at my gas price, and I transposed the number over. It's 261. I don't know. It's 661. Anyway, it is 652 here on News Radio 92-3 and AM 1620. Mark Jacobs in the newsroom with our headlines. Mark?
The Pentagon confirming that U.S. strike on Iran-backed militia in Syria.
In his first known show of military muscle, President Biden ordered airstrikes in Syria, targeting militants backed by Iran. It's payback for an attack in Iraq that killed a contractor and injured one of our troops.
That's NBC's Tracy Potts. A Defense Department spokesperson says the strike sends the message that the president will act to protect U.S. military personnel. An increased security presence will stay put at Capitol Hill. That comes as there have been threats by a group to blow up the Capitol during the president's State of the Union address. The U.S. Capitol Police Chief revealed that while testifying before Congress yesterday. She says the heightened security will stay in place until after the State of the Union speech, whenever that takes place. And the search is on in Illinois for the owner of a bird described as loud and belligerent. Seems the guinea fowl is wandering loose, and neighbors say it smells and won't go away. It's gotten so bad even the police are involved. They posted a photo on Facebook of the bird sitting on someone's front doormat, writing, "If you've lost your chicken, call us." Serious police work here, folks.
I just, you had lunch. Yeah. I don't understand. You know, is there a chicken on my property? Mm-hmm. I don't have to go to the store.
Eat up the fryer.
That's right. All right, Mark, thanks so much for the update. Davis Allen now, time for a quick shot of sports.
Well, Deshaun Watson, quarterback for the Houston Texans, at least for the moment, he had a meeting with the Texans' new head coach, David Culley, and he reiterated to him that I am not going to be playing for the Houston Texans anymore. Even if you don't train me, I'm not going to show up to training camp, so you guys go ahead and do what you have to do to get me out of here if you want to try and salvage anything, but I'm out of here regardless. Right now, he is under contract, so technically he does still play for the Texans, but based on activity that happened during the offseason, he's not happy with the franchise anymore. He did lead last season in overall offensive production. Also, taking a look at the WGC Workday Championship that's going on in Bradenton, Florida. Bubba Watson did not have a good day yesterday. Shot 5 over par, close to last. Let's see if he can have a tremendous rebound. Currently, Webb Simpson and Matthew Fitzpatrick do lead at 6 under par. Brooks Koepka, one shot back at 5 under par. And Andrew, trivia question for you.
Oh, we'll see what I can do here.
So the NBA logo. Do you know the silhouette of the NBA logo? Do you know who currently is the former basketball player?
Yeah, I don't know if it's
represents that.
MJ or I don't know who it is.
Not
Kobe?
MJ.
Not
Kobe.
I don't know who it is.
Definitely Pat in the past. Jerry West.
Oh, all right. Okay.
Jerry West, Lakers great. So he currently is the figure, the silhouette in that picture. Well, there is a push to get it replaced with a name you just mentioned, Kobe Bryant. And Kyrie Irving, who currently plays with the Brooklyn Nets, is going to help lead that charge. So if they get enough people behind it, they've actually been pushing the Jerry West silhouette to be changed for quite a while now.
I swear what I saw, you correct me if I'm wrong, but that there was also a push to change it from a white silhouette to a black silhouette. Did I see that correctly, or did I make that up in my head? I swear that's what I thought I
you
saw.
Know,
that was part of the controversy, is that they're not just pushing for the change to Kobe, but they're pushing for the color change as well. I hate to propagate something that's not true if that's not true.
I will read more into it. But
all right, let me look while you're doing traffic. I'll figure it out.
Well, the push is also, you know, the game has evolved so much since Jerry West, the style of the game. And let's be honest, it's a majority black league. They would like to have a logo in there that does resemble most of the league. So you actually could be right on the color thing, but I just don't know that yet. You're looking it up. I'll go ahead and roll it into traffic on the fives and see if we get our answer, as Avalon Boulevard northbound is now starting to back up. Around the area of Shady Bayou Lane is where I'm noticing these delays northbound, and also northbound Garcon Point Bridge backed up onto the Gulf Breeze side of a land even. It's backed up off the bridge. It's due to traffic buildup over at the Garcon Point Bridge Toll Plaza as you're going on through. Again, you'll get back on Avalon and where you'll be met with delays at Shady Bayou Road. I-10, I-110 and 9 Mile Road all checking and clear. And actually, so is the front gate of NES Pensacola. So good news there. I'm Davis Allen with your traffic on the fives.
Right, the only thing I could find quickly was a picture of Kyrie Irving posted on Twitter, a picture of the NBA logo with a full color image of Kobe dribbling in the Lakers uniform. So not a white silhouette, but an actual image of Kobe. That's what I got. So There you go.
There you go.
All right. Hey, you know, look, if you're in business, I know that you got in business in order to do the thing you do, right? You got in business to, you know, help people with their plumbing or to help people with their cars or to help people eat better or, you know, you got into business to provide a service or a product. You didn't get in business to deal with payroll. you didn't get in business to deal with health insurance benefits and to try to figure out the best. Nobody does. Okay. Well, some people do. And that's the point. Torgerson Causey got into business to do that because they know that your business isn't that. Your business is whatever you make, and their business is to help make that business run better by doing the stuff that you're not in business to do. Employee benefits plans, health insurance, dental, vision, HR tools, resources, payroll options, all that kind of stuff. That's what they want to help you with. They've been doing this for more than 20 years here locally. They recently started helping us do this and gave us options here at News Radio, so it was nice to have some more additional choices. For a free, no-obligation review of your program, you can find out more what Torgerson Causey can do for you 433-9996 or online at tcbenefitsgroup.com. News 6:59, future news on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Trump is scheduled to speak on Sunday at 2 p.m. at the CPAC. How long will that speech go? We're going to carry it live.
We are carrying it live an hour.
Yeah, I got over an hour. Is it going to be particularly productive?
Not productive, but there might be some news in there.
I would think that. Yeah, exactly that. The Community Maritime Park deals, Andrew Rothfetter, they said no, but sort of not really no. Is he going to bring some leases to them in the next month or two?
Yes.
I actually think one, yeah, for sure. We'll be back in a minute.